This is the time of the year when
our young people are wrapping up their
summer vacation and they're
headed back to school.
And so this evening I wanted us to talk about getting back to school and have some admonitions from God's Word for our young people, but we're going to find this evening that these characteristics that we're talking about need to be in our lives as adults. And so I hope that there is something here this evening for all of us. I'm glad that you're here, and it's good for us to be able to spend some time in God's Word. I remember those summer days as the vacation was wrapping up and you knew that you had to go back to school the next week, and you tried to make that summer fun last as long as you could, but eventually the day came when you had to head back to school, and that's a rite of passage for all of us. Our daughter Jessica just sent out a video today where Wells is 5 and he's getting ready for his first day of kindergarten later this week, and he was counting to 100, so he's getting ready to go. And, you know, whether it's public school or homeschooling, these principles are good for all of us. In our scripture reading in Psalm 119, I want us to notice a few observations from our scripture reading, and then we'll look at our lesson this evening. God's Word is going to help us with our back-to-school list, if we'll let Him. In Psalm 119, in verse 9, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way?" Notice that the psalmist doesn't ask about what the young man is wearing. Clothes are not the issue, and yet that's what's on a lot of people's minds today. The psalmist does not ask other things about this young person that involve the material. The psalmist asks the most important question, and that is how that we can be right with God. How can we be cleansed of our sin and be right with God? If the psalmist were writing this psalm today, he would not be writing about what kind of a phone does the young person have. The most important question is how that we can be right with God. And the answer comes from God's Word, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The principles that we're looking at this evening come from the Word of God. That's what makes us clean. That's what makes us right with God. Then notice in verse 10 that we have to make sure that we have to get God's Word from our hands into our heart. It's not enough to carry a Bible in our hands. We have to have it in our lives, in our heart. And so, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We've got to get God's word from our hands into our heart. The Bible is not just some academic discussion. The Bible is not just some body of material there that's out externally. We've got to get it into our hearts and minds. And that's what can cleanse us, and it also, in the future, it can keep us from sinning. We're going to talk this evening about some back-to-school supplies, things that we need to have in our heart to keep us from sinning when we're in that environment or any other environment. And it's God's Word that will help us to do that. Notice verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Jehovah, teach me thy statutes." What attitude do we have toward God? What is our belief about God? What is our feeling about God? The psalmist says, "Blessed art thou." We'll never have God's word in our life unless we don't hold God in high esteem. We have to have a great value of God so that we can have His Word in our lives. Look at verse 13. "With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth." One of the best ways to have God's Word help us is when we turn around and talk about it with others. When we turn around and begin to tell others about God's Word, that's how we know that God's Word is really in our life, and we believe that it's not just good for ourselves, but good for others. EJ prayed just a moment ago that we would take these things this evening and share them with others. These values that we're looking at this evening are not just for ourselves, but we can talk with others about these same values to help them. Many of our young people here this evening are around others that are not being raised with God's Word. You'll be going to school and you'll be around other people that don't have God's Word in their life. And if you were to mention some of these principles that we're talking about this evening, it would be good for them to hear that. Maybe they've never heard these kind of things. So when we begin to tell others, we know that we have arrived at the point of maturity with God's Word. It's not just for us, but to tell others. In verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Here's another way that we know that we have matured with regard to God's Word, and that is our joy of God's Word. God's Word is not a chore. God's Word is not something that's boring. God's Word is not something to be avoided at all costs. But when we enjoy Bible reading and coming to Bible class and hearing a sermon and being around the Word of God, when we rejoice in that and we rejoice in the way that God is trying to take us, then we know we have matured. And then look at the next verse. When God's Word is something that I meditate on, it's not just something for the church building. Every day I think about something with regard to God's Word. And have respect unto thy ways, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Joy again, I will not forget thy word. I want you to notice the last part of verse 16. When you're going off to school over the next few weeks, I will not forget thy word. So let's talk this evening about carrying that with us, not only for our young people here to school, but in all aspects of our life. Let's have these qualities there. What's on your back to school list? I guess Lindia was just talking with me right before the service about what she has to do this week, and she mentioned running around buying last minute things. I would just make him do that. You don't need to be running around doing that. Make him. He's old enough to do that. But she's going to go to different stores, and they're going to shop together. They're going to get all of their college list things. What's on your list? What's on mine? What are we thinking about? What we're talking about this evening cannot be bought at Walmart. What we're talking about this evening cannot be bought at Target. You're not going to see this as you go up and down the aisle at Target. But these are the important things that we need to have in our lives. And so in that list of pencils and paper and erasers and tablets and whatever young people are putting on their list, glue sticks, we need to make sure that we don't forget God's Word. And what we need to understand, as Solomon understood long ago, Solomon was someone who studied. Solomon was someone who was very learned. Solomon said that there's more to life than secular education. When he closed his book, he said that this is the whole of man, to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. And Solomon knew about buying things, and he knew about building things, and he knew about education and learning things. But he closes by saying that the end of the matter is that the whole of man revolves around two things: fear God and keep His commandments, and number two, there's a coming judgment day, and we've got to be ready for that. School can be exciting, and school can be something that we look forward to and those kinds of things, but keep in mind that it's only one small aspect of our whole life. And the whole of our life surrounds serving God and being ready for the judgment day. So let's look at some back-to-school supplies. I have eight of them for you this evening, and hopefully they will help us in our walk with God. First of all, we need to make sure that when we go back to school, we have honesty and integrity. We need to be people who tell the truth and live the truth. The Apostle Paul, if you'll turn with me in Romans chapter 12, I mentioned this morning with regard to our association with others around us in the community. Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, with regard to making sure that the contribution got to the needy saints in Jerusalem, Paul said that we provide things honorable in the sight of all men. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18 encourages that we are to have a good conscience and we desire to live honorably in all things. Honesty with ourselves. Honesty with our fellow students. Honesty with teachers. Honesty with parents. And honesty with God. We're just going to be open and honest. We're always going to be someone who is not going to be engaged in any kind of deceit or lie. And especially in your school setting, young people, let me encourage you to be honest in your schooling. And when it comes time for that test, you're not going to cheat on that test. You're not going to cheat when it comes to turning in a paper, and you're not going to cheat when it comes to turning in a project. We're just going to be open and honest. And if we didn't study, we didn't study. And if we get a bad grade, we get a bad grade. We can do better next time, but be honest about that. God sees, God knows. And we just need to be honest all the way around. Let me encourage you to take honesty and integrity with you when you go to school. I guess today I've heard that one of the main things is you're not going to let ChatGPT write your paper for you. I guess that's the thing that you got to think about today. We can use that, of course, for research and study and so forth, but I've heard where some are using that to turn in their entire paper as if it were their own, and it's not. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. Any dishonesty never ends well. And great harm is always caused by deceit. When we're always trying to fool the teacher and fool our parents and not be open and honest about our grades and this kind of thing, it just doesn't end well. When we start playing that game of trying to stay one step ahead of the teacher or our parents. And so bread of falsehood is sweet to a man. It goes down sweet. It's nice at the beginning, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. It's just not going to end well. And you can stay one step ahead of your parents on this or that for a little while, but eventually it catches up with you. And so we always need to be someone who's willing to be honest and truthful in all areas of our lives. We looked at this passage again this morning. We need to have respect for authority. Respect for authority. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, if you'll turn with me there, there are going to be individuals in your path throughout life that have authority. It begins in your life with your parents. And as you go down through life, you're going to have different individuals who are in positions of authority. They have that because of their work. They have that because of their age. They have that because of their wisdom and the roles that they're playing in life. And so we have different individuals that are in our path that have authority, and we need to have respect and reverence for them. It's easy to get off at school and disrespect a teacher, to say and do things behind their back, and to say and do things about them in the hallway and in the bathroom and texting on your phone, and we begin to put them down and make fun of them and say mean things about them. We need to learn to respect, honor all men. And that's hard to do, maybe, but we need to do that. And then sometimes in a school setting, you have young people who are disrespectful. Teachers have authority. Our parents, we're to obey our parents. They brought us into this world, and we're to respect them. And teachers, our parents are turning us over to teachers. We need to respect them. And law enforcement and government, as I've talked about recently in Romans 13, have authority. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. We're to respect those who are older. We're to respect those who are older. They've lived a long life, and they're trying to live right, and they're trying to serve God. And it's easy when we're younger to dismiss them and be dismissive of them. Our young people are being taught in our culture today to make fun of old people and disrespect them. Make fun of your parents and old people and teachers and law enforcement. And I see that all over our culture today. You're probably going to be around some other people that are very disrespectful. You need to pick different friends. You need to find a different group. We need to have respect for those that are in authority. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Somebody says, well, you know, it doesn't really matter how I treat others. Well, just like this matter of honesty or dishonesty, it's not going to end well when I learn to become a person that is disrespectful. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. And it's tempting to run with that crowd that is disrespectful. It's tempting to run with that crowd that is bad-mouthing the teacher and so forth. But it doesn't end well. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to rulers, to authorities, and them, the members of the church that Titus is preaching to here on the island of Crete, put them, members of the church, to be in mind, to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. Look at this. To speak evil of no man. So notice your submission to authority and speaking well go hand in hand. Not to be contentious. To be gentle. Showing all meekness toward all men. Now look at verse 3. Why do we need to do what is mentioned in verses 1 and 2? Why do we need to do that? Because it's the opposite of this worldly behavior in verse 3. For we also once, and notice how Paul says we, even in his life he had seen these things earlier in his life, we were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. This is the life that we once lived, Paul said. We need to stay away from that. An orderly life of subjection and speaking well to people and not being contentious and being gentle and being meek. This leads us to a life where we are living well and treating others well. If we don't, we end up in verse 3. And we see so much of that in our world today. Foolish. What is foolish? It's a general word, but what is it? It's acting without purpose. It's acting without reason. And so I go out and do things that I think are silly and funny, and I get hurt or I get people hurt. We see a lot of disobedience today. We see a lot of being deceived today. Wow, are we seeing that in our culture today? A man can become a woman. And people are being deceived by that and buying into that. What a shame. I never thought I would see that day. But deceived, it's everywhere. Serving different lusts and pleasures. Living in malice. There's a lot of hate, envy, hateful, hating one another. Don't go down that road of disobedience and disrespect. It leads to a life of unrestraint, and I just begin to go out and do this foolish and ungodly behavior. There's great harm in rebellion. So let's take respect for authority in our life. When we go off to school, whether it's going off to college or a university or just going off to school during the daytime, it's not a matter of, well, once I leave the house, woohoo, I can have a good old time. And once I get to school, boy, I can just act any way I want. That is a realm. That is a realm that has authority in it. And I need to be obedient and respectful there, just like I would be at home. In the workplace. In the church building. Respect for authority. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Let me suggest something else that you have on your back to school supplies, and that is a mentality and an attitude of hard work. A mentality and an attitude of hard work will serve you well. And young people, you're in a world where you're being told, don't work hard. Don't put all of your effort into it. Just let mom and dad take care of everything and let somebody else do it for you. And don't get out there on your own and make something of yourself. Just stay on your phone all day. That's all you have to worry about. But we need to learn in every aspect of our life to work hard. And this is a great time in your life where in school you can learn that principle. Because listen, when you do that there, you'll do that in other areas of your life that are very, very important. If I'm a hard worker at school, I'm going to be a hard worker in my marriage. I'm going to be a hard worker as a Christian in the local church. I'm going to be a hard worker later when I get a job. If I have a mentality when I'm in school of being a hard worker, doing the best I can, I'm going to take that attitude with me other areas of my life. If I don't have that in school, I'm not likely going to have that in other areas of my life. So, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And that includes your schooling. And you'll take that principle with you in other areas of your life. I'm not saying you have to be a straight-A student. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that whatever you do, do the best you can with it. And as parents, those who have young children here in this congregation whom I appreciate, you can even instill in that when they're young at home. Whatever little thing you give them to do, encourage them to do it the best they can. Whether it's clean their room or some other chore, do it the best you can. Be neat. Be organized. Do it well. Do it the best you can. That will serve you all through life. And in Colossians 3:23, when you get out in the workplace, you'll take that where you work heartily unto the Lord. We've got to have that in our life. We need to have this attitude of, I'm going to be responsible and dependable and faithful. I'm not going to have this just get by attitude or it gets a little hard and I'm going to quit. We need to have a perseverance. Jesus teaches that. He went all the way to the cross and through the cross and beyond the cross. And we're supposed to run the Christian race with Him and go all the way to the end. And when it gets difficult, keep going through that. You're being told today, well, just give up when it gets a little hard. Or have a get-by mentality. Have a mediocrity mentality. No. God has given us a mind and a body, and He gives us talents and He opens up doors, and we need to be doing that the best we can. Again, I'm not talking about particular grades. I'm talking about a mentality of working hard in whatever we can. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. There are two places in the ministry of Jesus and the teaching of ministry where He taught the importance of being faithful in small things. Listen. When at school we're told to do one little thing, do it well. And when you're faithful in that, God will give you bigger things and greater things. If we take just a small little assignment and we don't even care anything about it, God cannot give us bigger things later in life, such as marriage, such as raising children, such as being an elder in the church or a deacon or a gospel preacher or a Bible class teacher, if we don't just do one little thing well, He can't give us bigger things. And so even if it's just one little thing, starting in kindergarten, just one little thing, do it well. And take that with you all through life. He that is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And he that is unrighteous in very little is unrighteous also in much. Same thing with regard to the parable of the pounds in Luke 19:17. Brethren, God is wanting to give us bigger things as we get older. We've got to learn, and parents can help with this as well. Do your best, even if it's just a simple little thing. And you'll be given greater responsibilities later. You'll handle that. You'll be given greater after that. You'll handle that. And that's how God wants us to go through life. Because there are some things down the road that are greater, as I just mentioned. Things in the church. We need elders in the church, men. We need deacons. We need gospel preachers. We need Bible class teachers. And if we're faithful now, trustworthy, dependable, in small little things, then bigger things will be given us, and even bigger things will be given us. And one day we get to do those things that are very weighty. Marriage and parenting and things that are in the Lord's church. Very weighty things. But it was because we were serious when we were younger and hard working when we were younger. Faithfulness in small things leads to faithfulness in bigger things. So let's take this principle of hard work with us. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's another back to school supply that you can take with you, and that is virtue. The Greek word arte speaks of character. Make sure that virtue or character is on your back to school list. I saw Sherry and Charlotte smiling there. That's why I was in arte, Charlotte. Arte, virtue, character. You're going to be in positions where you have to have character. And you have to be a faithful Christian when you're in those positions, away from home. And whether it's 8 hours one day at school or going off to college and the university, you've got to get up each day with character. I'm always going to tell the truth. I'm always going to live a pure life when I'm around. And those of you who are older, our young people who are older and now in the college and the university setting, EJ about to enter into that, I'm around alcohol, I'm around drugs, I'm around in the dorm, I'm around bad language, I'm around sexual immorality. You've got to maintain your character. And so Peter says that when we become a Christian, we need to add to our faith. And what does he say in verse 5? And for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, we've got to work at it, in your faith supply or add virtue. This is moral courage. This is character. To stand for what is right and say yes for what is right and say no for what is wrong. And I appreciate Phil leading the songs. He texted me, what are you going to preach on Sunday night? I said, back to school. And he said, well, I've chosen songs on Christian soldiers. And I got to thinking, well, that's a great thing. That goes along well. We're in a spiritual battle. And we've got to be a Christian soldier and stand for what is right, say no to what is wrong. Proverbs 1:10, when sinners entice you, consent thou not. Don't go with them. And you've got to have that moral veracity and virtue. Daniel 1:8. Daniel and his friends resolved in their heart that they would not defile themselves. Not only with what they ate, but in chapters that follow, with idolatry and anything else that is given us that is wrong. You've got to make sure this is in your backpack. It's very, very important. Resist the devil. You're going to be in positions at school where you're going to be challenged in various areas of your life, and you've got to say no to these things. There will be sinful influences. Especially when you get out of high school and you're going on to the college or the university setting, there's going to be the immodesty and the bad language and the fighting and the cheating and the drugs and the alcohol and the sexual immorality and the gambling on your phone. And your friends hanging out in the dorm room or whatever, hey, let's engage in these kind of things, and you're going to have to say no. And even in the high school level, different places where we see these kinds of things. You're going to have to stand on your own two spiritual feet and be strong. And some of us can probably look back over those years, younger years, when you look back and regret, well, I probably could have acted a little bit better on such and such occasion, but because of that peer pressure, I gave in. And so we've got to be strong, and we can be. And Peter says you can add this to your faith. Peter knows that when you go out into the world, not only do you have to add this virtue, but knowledge and these other things, these are things you absolutely have to make it through your life. And I would encourage you to make sure you have that with you. Just say no. Walk away. Be a Joseph and walk away. Or run away. And don't give in to that. We're very familiar with John chapter 17 and verse 17. We need to make sure that when we go back to school, we always have God's truth with us. Remember the last part of the verse that we read earlier in Psalm 119. Don't forget God's Word. You need to make sure that the Bible is not just something for you at the church building. It's something that we must have with us as we go throughout the school day. Because we're going to hear things that are not truth. And especially, again, maybe not so much in the high school period of time, but as we get on up into the college and the university years, you're going to begin to hear human philosophies that are not right. And you have to have God's Word with you throughout the day. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And that goes on all the time, yes, even in the classroom. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That goes on. And that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 8 that we're not to be led astray by human philosophies. Now it's unfortunate in our country and around the world that we have to think about that with regard to the classroom, but that's the reality of it. Some of you are old enough here who are here this evening to remember that when the math teacher taught math, all it was math. Remember that? It was just math. And when the science teacher or the English teacher or the history teacher or the math teacher taught the subject, that's all it was. But we're past that. And especially in the college and university setting, it's not only that, but it's the professor's ideology that he also wants to mix in with that. And so after his history lesson or social studies lesson that's according to the book, then he goes to preaching, and lo and behold, this is where we get human ideologies beginning to creep in. So you're no longer getting just the core information. You're getting this man or woman's ideologies. And you're going to have to ignore that And you're going to have to follow the truth of God's Word. There was a time when the only thing that was taught in a math class was math.
We're past that.
The only thing that was taught in an English class was English grammar.
But we're past that.
So it's a mixture of the subject and then a person's ideologies. And so our young people are constantly bombarded with all kinds of false messages. And again, it's not so much maybe in the high school, although I'm hearing that it happens there as well. But again, those of you who are already in college or headed that direction, you're going to be around some of this somewhere, sometime. And you're going to have to stick with the truth of God's Word. Someone is likely going to, whether it's in a science class or somewhere else, try to fit in naturalistic evolution. There is no God. We just evolved from some primordial soup. Someone is going to try to encourage some sort of sexual discussion where you can engage in that outside of marriage. Someone is going to try to push homosexuality or the so-called transgender somewhere, sometime. And if it's not a professor, sometimes it might be some campus group or whatever. And you've got to carry the truth of God's Word with you. Some will spew anti-God messages and anti-marriage and anti-family and anti-government and anti-law enforcement. And professors will talk about victimhood and entitlement and privilege. And professors are sowing seeds of human philosophy, human ideology. It's not truth. It's not God's Word. They're trying to plant those seeds in your mind while you're young and impressionable, and you've got to ignore that and stick with the truth of God's Word. It's a shame that school, in many cases, is no longer just school. It used to be just school. Now it's school plus a bunch of ideology. And so, make sure that you always take with you God's truth in your heart and in your life. Your parents, by bringing you here week in and week out, having you to be around God's Word in sermons and Bible classes and reading the Bible at home, they have tried to instill in you the truth of God's Word. Don't throw that out the window now at this part in your life. You have to be constantly on guard for this, especially at the college and university level, because when you walk into the classroom, you're trusting that the teacher is going to lead you the right way. While they're actually teaching the subject that they're supposed to be teaching, it's pretty good. But then, when they do this and start preaching, then you got a problem. And you've got to be mindful of that and be aware of that. So please continue to take God's truth with you. Always, always take your light of example with you. We all know Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount, how that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Make sure that you take that example with you. There's going to be situations where you're going to be pressured, but I want you to understand that pressure works both ways. You need to be the pressure in a good way. You need to be the peer pressure. You can either be pressured, or you can be doing the pressure. You remember in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 3, one of the consequences of David's sin was that he would have troubles in his own family. Do you remember in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Abnon, the son of David, loved her, so they're half-brother and sister. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything. Amnon to do anything to her. Underscore this in your Bible. But Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend. And Jonadab was a very subtle man, and Jonadab tells Amnon how that he can get his sister and have a sexual relationship with her. Isn't that great? Amnon had a friend. Choose your friends carefully. They can pressure you into doing things that you don't need to be doing. We need to be the light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And when your light goes out and my light goes out, what comes in? When you're in a room at home and you turn the light off, what fills the room? Darkness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. One reason why we have to keep our influence going, we have to keep our godliness going and our righteousness going, is because when we turn those things off, the darkness floods in. We've got to constantly be proactive in our influence and in our example. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? If the light in you becomes dark, how does that happen? When we slowly stop being a force for good. We're more on the retreat. We're always on the defense. We're always on the retreat. We're always caving into something, and it just envelops us. Don't ever let your light become darkness. So we have to constantly be that force for good. And one of the best ways to do that is in what we say and in what we do. And along those same lines, then, let's go back to school and make sure that our friends are very selective in whom we choose. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13, 20. Choose your friends carefully. They did not come from a background that you came from. They can influence you for wrong. Walk with wise men and thou shalt be wise. But the companion of fools shall smart for it, hurt or be broken. Choose our friends carefully. Friendship with the world makes us at enmity with God, James says. And bad company can corrupt good morals, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Have you ever heard the expression, you're judged or you're known by the company you keep? Have you ever heard that? There's a lot of truth in that. We're known by the company we keep. We're judged by the company we keep. Who we surround ourselves by lets other people know what our character is about, either good or bad. We're known by the company we keep. And so make sure that we keep company with those who are not going to take us away from Christ and His principles. We all want friends. All of us do. But we need to be selective. We need to do that very carefully, very slowly, very selectively, so that someone doesn't take us away. Amnon had a friend. Well, wasn't that great? Look at where it led him to sexually assault his half-sister. And it just led to more problems. And then last of all, this is a very important back-to-school supply. And that is, each day you get up and go to school, always take your Christianity with you. I remember that summer in 1984 when I got in a car from San Antonio, Texas to drive to Florida go to college. And I remember thinking, boy, this is a new phase in my life and a separate part of my life, and it's a new journey. And boy, it was all about the trip there and all the stuff that we're going to buy and get there and new experiences. Young people, be very careful not to think that my schooling now, that's just my entire life. It's not. It's a small piece of the pie. You still have to remember that the big part of your life is being a Christian. And we glorify God, 1 Peter 4:16, by being a Christian. We still have to put the kingdom first, even when we're off at school. It is a big part of our life, but it's not our whole life. Don't let it consume you to the point of where we ignore being a Christian. And so it involves being a Christian. I still need to pray for my food. I still need to read my Bible every day. I still need to worship with Christians on Sunday. Well, Brother Reeves, you don't understand. There's new clubs to be a part of, and there's this project and that project and this class, and there's freshman orientation, and I'm all caught up with this and that. Yeah, that's a part of the experience. That's fine. But don't let it consume your whole life to the point where we let our Christianity wane. We still have to be a faithful Christian. We still have to go out and do good. We have to do good deeds. We have to worship with faithful Christians on Sunday. Don't let that fall by the wayside. And I remember those times when it's a new part of your life, and boy, there's all kinds of new people, new experiences, new situations, and it's just bang, 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 constant every day, and you do it again the next week. It's easy to forget that I'm a Christian first and foremost, and that God is still watching me, and I still need to be a faithful Christian. So as you go back to school, it's great to be excited. Please be excited. It's a fun time. But always remember that I'm a Christian first, and all of these responsibilities and others that I didn't even list, they are still there each and every week, and let's make sure we maintain those things. Now, when teachers pass out a back-to-school list, it's likely not going to have these matters on them. It'll have pencils and erasers and glue sticks and things like that. But as a Christian, we know that these other things are important. I'm excited about all of our young people here. I'm glad that you have the parents that you have and that you have the upbringing that you're getting. And we'll pray for you, those of you who are off at college, and whether you're at home or off at college, we'll pray for you and we'll keep you in mind. It's an important time in your life, but please have these things with you and keep them always with you. And they will guide you down through life of that path where you can be right with God all the way. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. We want to give anybody an opportunity to come and put on Christ in baptism. And if there's a child of God here that needs to come back in some way, we want to encourage you to do that. School is starting up for a lot of you. The best thing that you can take with you and show up with on the first day is you being a faithful Christian. And what a great thing that will be. And I hope that there's been some things here this evening for those of us who are older to keep with us as we get up this week and go to work, or get up this week and go do other things. Let's have these things in our life. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?